We're back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Kat Howe. She's beautiful. We all know she's beautiful. There's just pure beauty in this woman.
Hello.
Oh, God. Kat Howe, how are you?
Doing really good.
How good are you?
Good. Did you watch the Oscars?
I did watch the Oscars.
Did you like the Oscars?
I liked the Oscars. It was...
Do you think people are being very sensitive in the fact that Chris Rock is a comedian and that jokes are made to be offensive and funny?
Do I think people understand that?
No. Do you think people are overreacting on it?
Yeah. You know what? Yes. And unfortunately, in the day and era that we live in, if you had 15 million people watch the Oscars, those 15 million people weren't outraged. It was the 7 or 8 that are on Twitter or journalists or reporters,
yeah,
or opinion writers. And because they write a few stories of their outrage, and that's all you see because the media is bigger as far as reach than hundreds of millions of people.
Yeah.
Like, you can't – we don't have a button that's registered into people's brains, so – people go, all right, who watched the Oscars? And everybody pushes a button, and we go, okay, so 15 million people watched the Oscars. And then you go, who was offended by the Chris Rock jokes? And we go, oh, okay, 300 people out of 15 million. Wow, so no one was offended. We don't have that. So the way it works is you have 10 opinion writers,
mm-hmm,
and they go, I was offended. And then they post 5 or 6 people's tweets that say they were offended. And then that article appears on Yahoo,
yeah,
Google, E! Entertainment. So if you're someone that goes online, every website you look, there's an article about somebody being upset. So in turn, you go, oh, wow, everybody was offended. And that's how we operate now. That's how,
yeah,
we operate now. And it's ludicrous. It's insane, but
I think it was very funny.
That's how I tell you, and we've had this conversation, that the media controls the world. End of story. No, the government doesn't control the world or the United States. The president, no one. The media does.
Exactly.
They're the ones that would tell you that this was bad. This is good. This is wrong. This is right.
Well, I am the person that gives the opinions the opposite of other people's opinions.
Well, that's
what I do. And I thought it was very funny. And now in other news.
It was very funny.
This is all Oscar news.
All right, give us all Oscar news.
Leo DiCaprio finally won after 22 years of his acting career. Best actor in a lead role. I like to sound political. For Revenant. Reverent. Reverent. Reverent.
I never know how to properly pronounce that. Reverent?
We're the only ones that don't know how. It's fine.
I never even heard of the word.
Revenant. Reverent. Revenant.
Reverent.
But he gave his thanks, and he said, please save our planet, because global warming is real, and we had the hottest summer last year.
I like Leo. I don't like to completely poop on him, but we've had this conversation before. It's just bizarre when the Hollywood elite say, save the planet, we got to do all these things, and yet they live in mansions, they fly in private jets. All of that stuff is an undue burden onto the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Leo's by himself. He doesn't have kids. He has multiple girlfriends. So they don't live with him. He's a single guy. I guarantee you his house is huge.
It's awesome, probably.
Okay? I guarantee you Leo doesn't need a house that big. Leo needs a one-bedroom apartment. That's all Leo needs. But, you know, that's the irony with the Hollywood elite. Save the planet, but I fly in a jet. Save the planet, but I drive Lamborghinis, or I drive, you know, I know Leo has been seen in an electric golf cart, but let's face it, most of his daily routine is run by either private cars that he's,
yeah,
it's not like he lives like that. Who is it? I think it's Ed Begley Jr. One of these Hollywood old hippie types lives in a house that is completely converted to solar energy, and it reuses water. I mean, he spent like hundreds of thousands of dollars to make the house this eco-friendly house, and it looks like it because it's kind of ugly. It's what you would think a eco-friendly, solar paneled, recycled water, grow vegetables. If people like Leo were really concerned, they would be doing that. Michael Moore would be doing that. Michael Moore talks about the planet, but yet he has a 6,000 square foot mansion or 10,000 square foot mansion in Detroit that's got like 22 rooms. How's that? So, but I still like Leo as a actor.
All right, so Amy Winehouse's dad, Mitch, is the only person that was not happy about them winning. And I told you, remember, last night, I go, oh, the parents aren't going to be too happy because they cut him from the documentary, Amy, and Asif Kapadia portrayed Mitch as this father that never seeked to get Amy help and just rode on her fame.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he was portrayed. And he's like, that's not true. We need to get the truth out about Amy and what Asif did.
What's the truth? Right. She was a rock star who became a junkie.
Who died.
Who died.
No.
Okay, Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, Kurt Cobain. The list goes on and on and on. What's the truth?
Yeah.
There's no conspiracy. Well, nobody helped her. Well, can't help a millionaire adult. It's hard. It's one thing for a child. It's one thing for...
Look what happened for 5 months, basically, of Amanda Bynes, of that whole entire family trying to help her, and she just wouldn't do it, and then finally gave in. It's like,
after you get arrested, I mean, please, you can't help somebody that doesn't want to get help, and they're adults, and they're millionaires, and they have the money to spend. You can't. Nuts. All right, well.
So Sam Smith won Best Original Song from a movie the Spectre and the James Bond movie.
Yeah.
And he was horrible. Like, you know, he was in his speech, he was saying how he read an article from that Sir Ian McLean was in saying that he doesn't think there was any openly gay men that won an Oscar. And people, of course, blame Sam Smith for quoting it and not the person that actually said the original quote. Because in his speech, he goes, if that's true, if it's not true, this is for the LGBT community. So it was like nice. And he even pointed out, I don't know if it's true or not, but if it is, congratulations. But everyone was like, okay, hold on. Elton John, who's an openly gay man, won in your category. Steven Sondheim won in your category. But the thing is that this Ian McLean was talking about openly gay actors, not screenwriters, not producers, not musicians, but actors. And I think there was only one actor that won, and it was for a supporting role in the movie Arthur. That was like in the 80s. So... the original Arthur, the one that Russell Brand remade.
Yeah.
That, like, one of the... General, get down, please. Sorry, guys. I don't know what happened. Ever since his procedure was done, he's on this weird, like, I have to be the biggest butt in the whole entire world.
Yeah, so I whatever. Sam, I mean, who cares?
Lady Gaga should have won it. Where's the Kanye moment?
Yeah, if anything, I'm just a little like, it's a James for the Academy. If you want, I mean, for the Academy, you want to talk about being upset about diversity. For the Academy, and I get it, Sam Smith is gay. You got to you go ahead, get the gay guy. But for the Academy to give an award to a James Bond song and not to a Lady Gaga song. So Joe Biden introduces the song. The song is for a movie that's a documentary about women being, and I guess guys also, being sexually assaulted on campus. And then Lady Gaga does a performance with all these people that have been sexually assaulted, and they got stuff written on their arms, and it's all emotional, and people are crying in the audience, and they're like, here's a James Bond song. Here's the award. You're like, what? They should have given it to Gaga. That would have capped off a big emotional moment, but you give it to the...
Hey, I'm sure it would have been worse if they gave it to The Weeknd.
That would have been, oh my God, that would have been horrible.
He would have been like, you gave it to the black guy with the weird hair.
Yeah.
For a song that was in a movie that was about beating women.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they would have all, like, been like, ah!
Horrible. All right.
All right, so Stacey Dash made this awkward appearance. And you know who had the best face reaction to it? And she's known for her awesome face expressions. It's Chrissy Teigen. Because literally when she went up on stage, she went like this. And, like, all you see is a gif of her going like that. And that she's going to help her fellow people out.
It's obvious that that was a Chris Rock. Like, it's obvious that Chris Rock wrote all the comedy bits. Sure, I'm sure he had a writer. You know, he had people helping him.
Yeah.
But it's obvious that Chris Rock said to the Academy Award people, let me create a cool narrative.
Yeah.
It'll be worth it. You'll get good press. You'll get bad press. People will talk about it. Let me just do my thing, because the Academy didn't say, hey, let's have Stacey Dash come out. That was obvious that that was a Chris Rock call.
Yeah.
And Chris Rock is up on politics. He knows all the heat that Stacey Dash has gotten. And I liked it. I thought it was a good call.
Kevin Hart's like, that was the most awkward moment in the whole entire world.
Yeah, I mean, it was good. It was really good. And
you gotta love Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart, that whole like exchange between them two was funny, especially when he went on stage. He's like, I thought they were gonna show me a whole lot more doing the black people thing, but at least I got this shiny thing on me.
Yeah, I mean, are you gonna talk about the stuff they did with Will Smith? Do you have that in there?
Nope.
Let's talk about that. That was a huge.
I totally forgot.
What happened was
Angela Bassett did like this whole like Black History Month thing and honoring, and it showed like this movie that Will Smith was in, and then it showed a little animation movie that he was voiced in, and then the whole thing ended up being about Jack Black.
Yeah, and at the end she said, you know, honoring Jack Black.
Yeah.
So you really went in going, oh wow, they're doing this little sorry to Will Smith, and they ended with, here's Jack Black.
Yeah.
And earlier in the ceremony, Chris Rock torched Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith, torched them.
Yeah.
I mean, Chris Rock laid into Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith and made them look really bad.
Yeah, because his whole thing. People were like, are you going to quit? Are you going to boycott? And he goes, why is it always people that don't have jobs tell you to quit?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he
and
really...
And he's like, Jada Pinkett Smith is on a TV show.
Yeah.
She's like the star of a TV show, which she is. She is like the main female villain on that show. So he's like, ah.
Well, you know, you knew that the Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith boycott BS would get backlash because Jada Pinkett Smith works and Will Smith has won the Academy Award before.
Yeah.
A body can't be racist against you if they've given you the highest award before. That's not racism. It's not racism. That's being a crybaby and basically letting, I guess, your wife get you riled up about something that you shouldn't have been riled up about. Will Smith has been nominated for the Academy Award 2 different times. Will Smith has won the Academy Award 1 time. Will Smith, as Chris Rock said, he got paid $20 million for being in a horrible movie. Yeah. I mean, Chris Rock really lit Will Smith up. And again, that backlash you knew was going to happen because guys like Chris Rock and other black actors look at Will Smith going, what are you complaining about? You've had a career from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air to even now where you get paid top dollar. You put your kids in movies.
Yeah.
They get top dollar. Your wife's in movies. Your wife's on TV shows. Are hugely successful. You cannot claim racism whatsoever. You were in a crappy movie. End of story. Move on. So I thought that was pretty telling, especially coming from Chris Rock, because I think Chris Rock gets a little bitter that he knows what it's like to be the top dog. And then basically have everything pulled out from you.
Mm-hmm.
And then they move on to a Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
Or you look at a Will Smith and he's still going strong. And Chris Rock goes, man, Chris, you know, Will Smith, he's been going strong all this time. I had the HBO TV show. I had the HBO specials. I had Life of Chris that was on, I think, Fox or one of those shows. I had it all, but then all of a sudden, Hollywood said, you're just not funny anymore. You're not cool anymore. We don't like you, and they moved on.
Yeah.
But they didn't move on from Forrest Whitaker, or they didn't move on from Denzel Washington, or they didn't move on from Will Smith.
Yep.
And here's Will Smith crying like a baby, and Chris Rock, I think it was personal to Chris Rock. That's what I think.
I think a lot of it was, especially whenever he was throwing Kevin Hart under the bus. He goes, when you're losing your job to Kevin Hart, you know
He's like, damn, you make movies quick. Like, everybody jokes that Kevin Hart's like, let me make these movies really quick before I'm not cool anymore and I'm Chris Rock.
But I think, you know, also, on the last thing before we get to the main movie, was that actors like Denzel Washington and Morgan Freeman are different than the actors of Chris Rock and Kevin Hart. And same with the white actors, because serious roles are completely different than comedy roles, because you can only be funny for so long. I mean, look at Dane Cook. Dane Cook was on top, and then all of a sudden, look where he is. It's like, But Robert De Niro is this, like, ongoing actor that's in everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit easier to be a legitimate actor, not a comedian who turned actor, but an actor who goes from drama to comedy than it is, I'm a comedian and I'm going to transition and now be an actor.
It's like whenever we make fun of Steve Carell for being, you know, 40-year-old virgin to being Foxcatcher. So it's, you know, it's this big transition where you're like, this guy is made for funny movies, but here he is doing all this. So it's...
But it's a lot harder if you're a stand-up comedian.
I hear you saying,
Do you understand? Yeah. You're a stand-up comedian. It's not that hard to be a comedy actor and transition. But if you're a stand-up comedian, your job is standing in front of an audience telling fart jokes.
Yeah.
Like Louis C.K.
Yeah.
Louis C.K. is a stand-up comedian that transitioned into comedy and being a serious actor in some regards in some movies.
I always forgot.
Yeah, he did a great bit.
And the documentary that one.
Yeah, short.
The documentary short that one was about Honor Killing a Woman.
Honor Killing a Woman, yeah.
And it was like, oh, well, but it was funny when he goes to Mad Max.
Yeah, and if you explain about the Louis C.K. joke.
I don't even remember the joke, but I just know he made reference.
Well, he made a joke that he liked giving this award, he said the award's not the best documentary, that you can basically become a multi-millionaire like Michael Moore or other Paradise Lost. This is a documentary that's a short film, and it has to do with heavy topics like a girl's getting their faces burned off.
Yep.
And he said, ultimately, these people, when they win the award, it's going to be the greatest thing that they own in their lives because they don't drive Mercedes-Benzes. They don't live in fancy houses. It's going to be nicer than the apartment that they live in. So he enjoys giving this award because it's the most important thing. Ultimately, the people in the audience, rather Leo DiCaprio wins Best Actor, he's still going to leave and go into a $25 million house, and he's going to get a $25 million paycheck in his next film. But the documentary short filmmaker is going to go back to their lonely apartment in their Pinto.
Yeah.
Their Honda.
So you guys have On Demand, because we can talk about all the jokes that I don't remember all night long. Just watch the Oscars if you haven't. Or watch the clips. They're all up there now. But Spotlight won Movie of the Year. And Michael Keaton fist pumped his way to an F yeah on his way to the stage. It was the second movie to win. Birdman won last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at Michael Keaton go.
Yeah. He got a big resurgence from
Morgan Freeman actually gave the
God. So the voice of God gave the
He is God.
The introduction.
I don't mind going to heaven and seeing Morgan Freeman. I'd be like, God.
Yeah, you know, people don't realize, young people like you, don't realize that when I was your age, Michael Keaton was the Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt of the 80s.
Yeah.
He did movies that were $100 million blockbusters. He was the actor of that era. He did epic films like Mr. Mom and Gung Ho. I mean, he was huge.
Oh, is that why they kind of made a big deal when he was Batman?
Yeah. Like, when he was Batman, that was towards the end of his run. He was still a huge star, but that was the end of his run. When Michael Keaton was Batman, it was like the end of the Michael Keaton top Hollywood actor.
Yeah.
And then he not vanished, but just like a lot of those guys, you're only on top for so long.
Yeah.
Then he faded out. He got a resurgence with Quentin Tarantino and Jackie Brown.
Yeah.
And people were like, oh, yeah, Michael Keaton's pretty good. And then that Alejandro, whatever his last name is, put him in Birdman. And people went, and the next phase of Michael Keaton's life, Birdman, huge. Mm-hmm. And he was in this spotlight about the priests that molest. All the boys, and they say they're doing God's work. It's not rape. It's from God. And people were like, dude, he was awesome in it. So, yeah, Keaton definitely has another
man yet.
It's almost like a third resurgence because he got a big surge in the Jackie Brown movie. He didn't get a lot after, per se, but it was still a big deal. He was, that was a big deal. He was at the Oscars then. Because Robert Forster was nominated for Best Supporting Actor. That movie got nominated for a bunch of awards that year. So, It was good.
Ready for sports news?
I hope it's good.
All right, so Tom Brady in talks of signing a extended 2 years with the Patriots, which will put him at 42 years old whenever he finally decides to retire.
It'll be my age.
It'll be your age.
Yeah. So I take it he's 40 now or 39. 30, he's got to be younger 30, than 39. Younger than Peyton.
Yeah, Peyton turns 40.
So he's got to be what, 38, 39?
Yeah. So he is due to make $9 million in this coming up season, $10 million in the 2017 season with their $13 million salary cap, and they still got to be able to pay all his.
He'll renegotiate. He ain't gonna be a hard ass. Think about it. He's been making $10 million, $12 million for all these years, all the endorsements. He'll work a deal where he gets a huge, like a bonus, like a guaranteed bonus that won't be associated with the salary cap, because the bonuses and those types of money deals don't affect the cap. The cap gets affected by the salary.
Yeah.
$10 million, $20 million, $8 million, it all adds up. The bonuses you're able to play with. You're able to not make it count toward the cap. So they'll do something like that with them.
Yeah, and I saw that the NFL's full. I think it's like $155 million salary cap within the NFL. So, like, all the teams together. Maybe more.
He ain't gonna be a hard ass. Why would he want to be a hard ass? That's the team that he can. He ain't gonna go to any other team and be able to be as great as he's got a shot to get to another Super Bowl before he retires. Yeah. That's real.
He's gonna end up being like John Elway. They're like make him like the front office guy.
Yeah,
like
general manager. He's type. Legit. He's got a shot to get there, I could see Tom Brady once he gets older. You know, Elway's older. Elway didn't be getting the front office right after he retired. I mean, I think Elway even did arena football to get his feet wet. He had an arena football franchise in Denver, so he didn't come right out of the gate and start. He dabbled and. You know, you got to get your chops up and you got to get removed from the game. I think Brady will stay around. I could see Peyton doing the same thing, staying around and maybe going back to Indianapolis. Who knows? But
Jerry Jones expects Tony Romo to be his quarterback for another 4 to 5 years, even though they have fourth pick in the draft this April. And they could pick a backup. Jerry Jones is still determined for his child, Tony Romo.
I don't see it because they had the combine this weekend.
Yeah.
And we're coming out of the combine. There wasn't too many quarterbacks that dazzled, and the ones that were supposed to dazzle blew big farts, like Boykin and a couple of the other guys. And the ones that kind of dazzled were guys that weren't even on the radar. Like, who? I'm reading it going, who the hell is that? So there's no standout in the draft. There's no
Eli Manning. They're talking about the defense. Their defense with those kids are really good, is what they're saying. Because they were all like, ooh, that defensive player, that defense player. But Peyton Manning is expected this week to officially announce if he'll be retiring or not. Mm. Him and John Elway had a meeting throughout last week and over the weekend about what to do, and Peyton Manning will make his announcement in a couple days.
It's huge. It's huge.
He turns 40 March 24th, which is Boss's birthday, and Boss turns 4 on March 24th.
They say he's going to retire.
Yeah, he has more chance. I think that's why it's such a big deal. Everyone's like, oh, big meetings this week.
I don't know.
We'll see. All right, so Jimmy Johnson, this is NASCAR. Because I have to talk about other sports because football is done.
All right.
But Jimmy Johnson of NASCAR has tied Dale Earnhardt's winning for his 76th time winning. He won in Atlanta.
Okay.
As you know, Dale Earnhardt is dead. He died.
Yep.
I think it was Daytona 500 that he died at. Whichever one he died at. But when he passed away, he was at his 47th win. And Jimmy Johnson has tied that. So Jimmy Johnson, you need one more, and then you are a new record holder, even though you regret never being able to race against the great Intimidator. Yay. Congratulations, Jimmy Johnson. And final story.
This is
UFC.
Dazzle me.
All right, you know that Irish, Scottish Conor McGregor?
Yep, I know him. He's my friend.
He'd be a good friend to have.
He's my good buddy.
He is set to fight Nick Diaz on March 5th. Yes, this weekend.
I thought Nick Diaz was, like, banned for weed.
The weed thing?
Yeah.
No, he got back.
Okay.
Because they don't have that many people in that weight class. But his trainer, or his coach, Richard Perez, is accusing Conor McGregor of using steroids because he's supposed to be fighting at 155, and he's all of a sudden at 170. And he's like, how does he just get to 170 whenever he's 155? That makes no sense. This is shady. He's doing steroids. This will come out. Will come out.
Who knows?
But they all do steroids. Duh. Come on now.
I don't know. Maybe they do.
Anderson Silva won this weekend, that old man.
Ah, no, he lost.
Oh, I thought it said he won because
no.
It said dominate. So
uh-huh.
Then he lost. Never mind. But
he lost.
Backfiring.
I read that he lost.
People are really good at their headlines thinking it seemed like he won. That sucks. I like Anderson Silva. That's it for me. My name is Katie. This is Rob's Carey Show. We'll see you all tomorrow. Au revoir.